Welcome back to another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat. I'm here joined by Micah Ma'a. Micah, how are we doing?
Solid.
Joe? Well, first of all, Joe, where are you joining us and how are we doing?
Well, I don't know who's heard or who hasn't heard, but I'm homeless right now and our club's homeless. So I'm in the middle of Stuttgart right now. I'm actually in the middle of a hotel lobby joining the boys. I just got back from a teen dinner, but yeah. That's how I'm doing.
That's going to be the kind of a topic of our discussion today, Joe. I'm just going to kind of give you the floor. We want a play-by-play of why you're technically homeless right now as a person and as a club.
I'm not going to take the credit. I wasn't the one who originally said that we're homeless. I just saw it in an article. I thought it was pretty funny, talking about how our team's homeless. Basically, last Friday, I had an off day. I was sitting in a cafe at about noon with one of my teammates. And we all get a text, our entire team in the team group chat, saying emergency meeting in 45 minutes, meet in our arena. And anyone who doesn't know, our arena is like probably like the top arena that's like club, like that belongs to the club in the entire German league. Like Berlin has a really nice one, or even Frankfurt, but it's kind of like a hall that a lot of people use. For us, it's just us who use it. And so it's a really important part of like German volleyball here. And basically we get into, well, the first thing is like our teams like text, then we text like our players only chat, like who got arrested, like who got in trouble. Because usually if you get called in on an off day like that, it's like the cops got called or something and something really bad happened. So we're freaking out at this point. But we get into the meeting. Our coaches basically tells us that the town, like the government, the local government had been sending around architectures around the building or around the town to check different buildings in Friedrichshafen. And they found that there's a possibility there's rust in our roof and that they immediately have to tear down. They literally started tearing it down 3 days later. They tell us we have to be out of the building in 3 days. We're not allowed to use it this season. And that was last Friday. We had to be out by Monday. And I'm not kidding. Monday morning, they had already started tearing stuff down. Now... My first thing is, like, in the U.S., a lot of the times you'll see, like, stadiums or arenas. They'll be like, all right, this is our last season or our last year. Nope, not in Germany. In Germany, it's like 3 days, we're tearing it down. You got to get everything out of there. And it's just, we literally have no place to play. There's no other gym in the area. Like, not even, so we had to drive 2.5 hours just to practice today.
No.
2.5 hours for practice today.
What?
Do you do that every
So there's literally not another gym. Like, literally not another place there,
cause with a The other court. Thing is we have to play Champions League. And so the gym regulations are a little bit different for that. And you need more seating and stuff. But for us, there's no, not even a gym to compete in the German League. Like, there's, like, school gyms where the walls are, like, on the sidelines. And I'm like, I guess we can play there, but...
It's like the pack room facility.
Exactly. We could put there.
That'd be a nice home. I've always thought you should have. If I own a club, my home gym would be so, like, something really off. So that when people come there, they're like, they can't win. like I'd have like maybe like lights like blaring straight at you, like straight.
What
down
about what like, about long term eye problems?
But my guys would be adjusted. They'd be like, yeah, this is home. It'd be fine. Or, like, just no serving room at all. And so the whole time we're practicing, like, we somehow figure out a system where, like, we don't serve without an approach or something.
Yeah, that's
like,
why.
None. Like, maybe, like, a foot on the end lines.
When I was...
And yet, like, that'd be... I've always thought that's such a good idea.
That's why at Pac Rim, that's why you see a lot of those guys were like so very, pretty, very successful. Well, so far, pretty successful. And we pass like super low. For me, I'm like kind of straight shooter passer. Luckily, it goes to target, but like it's very low, no high passes. And I used to do an approach, my spin serve. So at Pac Rim, where my dad owns a club,
yeah,
and everything, where we're at.
Like...
So what we do is there's only serving on one side.
What?
There's only
that's
serving
not
on
even
one
serving,
side.
Really.
Yeah.
From where you serve from, it's not.
Yeah, so there's only, like, serving on one side. And what I would do is I'd start, and I'd take, like, 2 steps to the left and then go forward. And that was part of my approach. Usually, so instead of, like, a straight-on approach, I just do 2. But now I just do stand there. I just rip it from I just stand right behind the back line and just rip it. No approach or anything. Jump and rip. That's what I do. But so Joe, is there what's happening with games now? What's happening with all that? Like,
dude,
what's
we have a match. We have a match at home. In what's today's date? We got in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
You're talking to the wrong guys. Ask for a date. Day of the week.
2 weeks. We have a home match, just to kick off the German league, and we have absolutely. I'm not kidding. We have no idea where we're gonna play. Like, not even. I ask everybody. Not even a clue. Like, oh, you know, like sometimes I'll be like, there's probably a good chance we go here, maybe here. They have no clue.
Where are you guys gonna practice? You're gonna stay at this place?
Nope. We have to leave after tomorrow evening. We practice twice tomorrow, and then we have to leave, and then we have no idea.
And you don't even know where you're practicing, like, this week?
No. Literally, I'm not kidding. I've asked so many different people. Gosh. I always ask just different people because I'm like, maybe this guy has kind of the inside scoop. Nobody has any idea.
Jeez, man. That is crazy.
And so I was getting texts from, like, Taylor Averill, or both the Shoji's actually texted me, and they're like, are they just going to, like, trade all you guys? And I'm like, to my knowledge, I hope that doesn't happen, but I guess it's a possibility. They just give up, trade us all.
More than welcome here.
They just trade us all. That would be ridiculous.
If you're in the trading block, Charlie Wade would do anything to get you back here, Joe. Let's be honest here. Charlie Wade, Hawaii, mental while swooping in.
That would make the least sense of anything.
No, but he'd try.
What are you talking about?
Well, Charlie, for those of the listeners out there, Charlie loves Joe. So if he can get him anywhere back here or anything like that, he's going for it. But all right, so Joe's homeless. Joe has no idea what's going on with his life. Could possibly get traded. Joe's in the, wow, that's I never really heard of that. Volleyball on the trading blocks. That's crazy. I can only imagine, because I watched this video about how, like, what, like, NFL players, what happens when they get traded. But, like, they get, like, paid, like, they're, like, moving service paid for and all this other stuff. There's
no,
probably
kids,
like,
you're not getting traded you just yet, all right, though.
No, I know that. I was just thinking. I'm just thinking out loud here. But, Michael, what's happening in France? I heard they're shutting stuff down, or, like, what's going on there?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm not up to date. I don't even know what's going on in America or France. I don't know what's going on at all.
I thought they were shutting stuff down over there at all, no?
I couldn't tell you, man. I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. They definitely could be. I could ask around, but I do know that we just won the French Cup yesterday.
You guys did?
Pretty incredible.
You guys had a game?
Nope.
But you won?
Yep. We won the French Cup.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yep.
You did it. What? Wait.
It was well deserved, hard fought. I think we're the only team ever to not give up a single point in the semis and the finals while winning a cup.
You ever seen dodgeball?
Not a single point.
You ever seen dodgeball?
Yeah, I've seen dodgeball.
Congratulations by a victory from disqualification.
Disqualification. Dude, yeah. So what happened was, right before we were gonna play, well, we woke up one morning and he's like, "Whoa, we're not going." Well, no, okay. Sorry, sidetrack. We started with four teams. Toulouse and Paris left because they had coronavirus, so they were out. And they didn't tell anybody until the day before we were supposed to leave, and like 2 days before we were supposed to play, they went ahead and were like, we got coronavirus. Like, we're like, what? For how long? They're like, 2 weeks. We're like,
we all got
gotta
it.
Say,
it. It's who we all got.
Something. Well, and they didn't. We only know that because a player on Toulouse used to play here. So we texted him. We're like, bro, what happened? He's like, yeah, dude, we haven't practiced once in 2 weeks. We're like, what? Why would you say something? They're like, yeah, we don't know. So they were out. Paris is out. And then we were supposed to play Tours in the final. And luckily, man, so lucky because I didn't sleep through my alarm. My alarm didn't go off because I accidentally unplugged it. So I woke up at like 10 on the day we were supposed to leave at 9.
Wow.
And I was like, oh no. And I wake up to some texts and they're like, yeah, Tour is like deciding that they might not play. So we're going to postpone leaving for like a little bit. Everybody stay on your phone. And everyone on there is like, please tell us now. Like, we want to go back to sleep. Like, and they're like, we don't know. And I'm like, bro, I've been sleeping. I don't even know. So, anyways, later that day, tour, the president of tour decided not to play. And even though, like, everyone else was like, yeah, we're playing, like, the Federation, both, like, our team, the host team, everyone was like, yeah, you're supposed to play. He didn't. So then that technically is a forfeit because they don't have coronavirus at all. They just chose not to. So I think they got fined, like, somebody.
Did you guys get the bonus?
Dude, some guys are trying to get the bonus from last year's team. Everyone's trying to get the – I was like, man, I don't really care about the bonus. Like, if you guys give it to me, if you give it to everyone, cool. But, like, because I didn't play a game, dude.
But you won.
I mean, yeah, but from disqualification.
Congratulations, my victory was disqualification.
Dude, when you were telling me that story, the only thing I think of is – what if that's going to be a tactic this year? If a team has, like, a major injury or if they feel like they're not
exactly.
ready.
Exactly.
Like, we have corona.
We said that. We were literally like, oh, what the heck? Before we knew that they got – because they got a $7,500 fine and we win the cup. So it's – but then I heard today our coach is like, yeah, the club's deciding if we should take the cup or not. And we're like, what do you mean, take the cup or not? And the coach is like, yeah, I know. I just yelled at all of them. Like, we're like, you guys are so stupid. Why would you not take? Let alone, like, because Tour and Poitiers are huge rivals. And the president over there was like, yeah, we don't want to play. So, like, just for the sake of, like, taking the cup, just to say, like, ah, we have the cup. Like, yeah. You should have played. Like, you should have played. Like, we have the cup. Like, that would be sweet. But I think it's because they don't want to pay the bonuses. So I'm thinking – they don't want to take the cup because if they do, then there's a more of a chance they have to pay the bonus. God, but in the middle of practice, I had a water bottle and I was going, I failed a backflip. I tried a backflip because he's just like, in the middle of practice, he's like, we won the cup. And wait, everyone's like, what? I tried a backflip. I like didn't land it. And then I had my water bottle and I was like, you know, when the teams come in the locker room and go crazy with it?
Yeah.
I went like super crazy with my water bottle, spilled everywhere, and it took us like 30 minutes to clean it up.
Was it worth it?
Because the whole place was wet. Oh, it's totally worth it. And everyone was just laughing. Some guys are like, dude, what are you doing? But at this point, everybody knows me pretty well, so they're like, oh, they didn't really care.
So I know on Joe's team, they think of Joe as the craziest guy they've ever met, or the crazy American. What do they think?
Dude,
same. They literally told me last year, and like a 30, I don't know how old this guy is. He's over 30. He's played professional over like 8 to 9 seasons. He said, by far, I'm the strangest, most not normal player he's ever played with.
That's everybody kind of a compliment.
Here, I took it like sick, but I also am like, I feel like I'm pretty normal. But everyone on this team has not hands normal. Down agreed. Everyone on the team is hand down agreed. They're like, yeah, by far you're the strangest player we've ever played with. I'm like, what?
The strangest?
But not strangest. Not the strangest. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. But they are saying just not normal. Because I would do some pretty hilarious, not hilarious, but some pretty crazy things last year. In the middle of practice or like just randomly. I pretty much did whatever I wanted last year.
Hell yeah. But that's the thing. Like I hear.
Not in a disrespectful way, but just like.
I ran around naked.
In a safe way. No, in a safe way where I'm like, I'm listening to the coach and stuff like that. But like, I was just like, oh, I'll do it. You know, do Joe, whatever. I didn't really care about opinions and stuff.
Joe, what about you, man? What do they think of you over there?
Yeah, how do they think that about you, Joe? You're such a normal guy.
When I go back to the U.S., I tell people, I'm like, anybody who's like been teammates with me knows that like I'm pretty reserved. I'm pretty like quiet and everything, like, but the thing is here we have so many guys with families and so many guys who are
too many
like
guys
older and just well and we don't have like a like I, they don't understand American humor a lot too, so I just like say stuff and I'm just laughing, so like I'm always just laughing all the
so
time.
So you still try to say it because I just don't use any like American
dude
humor
I for sure
all.
Still say it just out of hat, like there's jokes that I say and nobody gets it. I just
okay
like that.
Definitely not.
That's why they think you're crazy. You say a joke and nobody laughs and you're dying of laughter alone. I'd be like, this guy's weird.
That's dude, what she said.
The other thing is that when I show up, dude, I show like, because I hate wearing tons of layers of clothing. And they think I'm crazy because, like, I'm like, all right, I think about, like, all I have to do is get from the apartment to the car and the car into the gym. So if I just wear, like, a long sleeve shirt over this, like, I won't be cold. I'll be cold for, like, 10 seconds total. So yeah. I don't need to wear all these sweats. And I'll wear, like, slippers because I don't want to put on shoes and socks and deal with all that. And after practice, I want to be – and then they just, like, they get super mad at me when I do what the coaches do. And the players just think I'm, like, crazy for doing it. And that's what they say. I'm, like, the crazy
– I do the same thing because I wear shorts.
Yeah, like, I'm all, like, the, dude, I'm, all the time.
I wear.
They don't understand. Even if I say I'm cold and I'm wearing shorts, I'm like, it's a little cold out, but I'm like, I still wear shorts because I don't want to. I don't know. That's just how I roll.
That's so, and then I wear pants when it's hot, and they're like, "What? Like, you're dressed opposite to the weather."
Exactly.
I'm like,
"Exactly."
No, I just don't dress to the weather, and sometimes it's to it, and sometimes it's not.
It's just how I'm feeling.
That's
how I'm feeling that day.
That's complete opposite because Hawaii, obviously, we're obviously hot all the time. So when we go anywhere remotely cold, like, they give us, you guys know those big parkas? I'm sure, I don't know if you guys get them, those big parkas that go down to, like, your knees and stuff. Like, huge ones.
What?
We got those last year. We got those, and we'd sometimes, like, we're in California, or that because we went to Kentucky and all those places. Yeah. But I was like, we don't need all. It was huge. And any time we had a chance to wear anything long sleeves, we took the opportunity. So we're total opposites. And back. Yeah,
but also in Hawaii, you learn, like, or you unlearned, but I didn't learn. Like, you don't ever. I didn't know people would, like, look at the weather before, like, in the morning and then dress to it, you know?
Dude.
Yeah.
Because in Hawaii, for 18 years, you literally wake up and you put on whatever you want, and it's the same every day. Like, you're not going to be in too much trouble.
I had an argument with my libero this week, and they're like, they all do that here. I'm like, dude, I literally look out the window sometimes. Oh, the sun's out. I don't look at the lake.
No, and you can leave your apartment without looking outside once and be like, okay, whatever it is, it is. Like, if it's raining, I got shirt and shorts. Like, okay.
100%.
That's true.
Right.
Dude, all the time. That happens to me all the time, and they think I'm, like, crazy. I'm like,
I've never probably once woken up and looked at the weather and then dressed to it. Like, on my app. Like, maybe I'll catch a glimpse of outside, like, oh, it looks really cold.
Yeah, put if on it's a like jacket. Dumping snow, right. Dumping rain.
Yeah,
that'll put on but a jacket. Yeah,
I'm not on my like iPhone. Like, oh, it's 80 degrees. Let me wear hour this by and hour. That.
Yeah, 100% no, dude. It's just hard for them to understand. Kind of like where even like for me, like for you, your whole life. But for me, even living in Hawaii for 4 years, like you just like grow accustomed. I never checked the. I mean, obviously, if I like, there's days like in Hawaii where I stepped outside, I didn't know it was raining. Like, shooting it. Sometimes it was really rainy. I ran back inside. I grabbed a jacket. But it was, like, I never even.
No, you just wake up and you put on, like, I don't know, board 100%. Shorts and a shirt. And then you just go. Did I tell 100. You about the polar vortex story that we made it on the news for?
No.
Dude, I'm also, my girlfriend's telling me to stop storytelling because I'm the worst storyteller I've ever met.
No.
Does Donna listen to this?
I think so. But I'm so bad at storytelling. It sucks, man. It's such an important skill. But anyways, long story short, we went to Chicago. It was the polar vortex. It was minus 40. And me and two freshmen decide we're hungry and we're going to – that it's only 0.7 – Wendy's is only 0.7 miles away. And we're like, God, that's nothing. Dude, worst decision of our lives. I went outside with my sweats, like a shirt – a sweatshirt or like a hoodie, sweatpants, and a towel for my face. No gloves, no socks. We went. It was literally the most ridiculous. And Wendy's was closed. And we ended up being locked outside of Wendy's. And on the news it says, if you're outside for 15 minutes, you have a high chance that you're going to be hospitalized. You're going to have a hypothermia. Jeez, you're going to have all this stuff. We were outside for at least 15 minutes. And my entire body was on fire. Like, it literally felt like I was in boiling hot water.
Pins and needles?
Oh, it was so crazy. Because, well, like, when we were, like, huddling up against the wall. And we were okay because there was no wind. And then when we turned the corner, there was so much wind. And we started sprinting towards the Wendy's. And that just made the wind even more. So we had to stop. And then, oh, I think my headphones just died. I don't know what just happened. But we had to stop. and we huddled up. We tried to call an Uber, but the Uber was like 10 minutes away. So we're like, no, let's just get to Wendy's. We can wait inside. So then we ran to Wendy's. It was close. Then we called an Uber. And by that time, it was like still 10 minutes away. We were outside for 20 minutes. We thought we were going to die for sure. But yeah, that's basically the story. And they asked. No,
I have a question for you guys before we head out.
They had heard about it. So we told it. They thought we were pretty crazy.
You good to go?
Are
you
charging? I'm solid. No, I'm solid.
Okay. All right. Here, I'll start. I'll have something here. I have one last question, and then we can kind of wrap it up from there. 3, 2, 1. So yeah, most of the stuff that I bring up here on the podcast, like a lot of conversations I have over here, because I'm really interested in all the, like, I have teammates from literally all over the world, and the conversations I have with them, because they're from such different cultures and such different backgrounds, and I'm like, and they're super interested in stuff from the U.S. But I like, so the conversations the questions I ask them, I love bringing up with you guys. And one of them, I have a lot of guys who are married on our team and in relationships. And there was kind of a conversation, like, none of the guys on our team are married to athletes, and they are all saying how it's way better. They like really like that they're not married to athletes for various reasons. But I wanted to ask you two, who are both in relationships with athletes, have you guys dated non-athletes before?
Yeah.
No.
All right, Gage, I want you to speak. Well, maybe Gage, I don't know, Micah, I want you to tell me why you've only been with athletes, if that's your choice or your preference, and also Gage, why, or the difference between non-athletes and athletes dating. And because I want to hear your guys' answers compared to what I hear from the guys here in like Europe and guys from Australia and such.
Gage, you can go first because you have both.
Okay. So for non-athletes, it's good because it's all like a break and whatnot, but at the same time, I find it. But then again, I've only had it like them. They're out of college. They even went to college. They're out of like a teen environment. For example, let me explain. Like if we're at college and I'm dating a non-athlete, turns out she, like all the athletes know each other. Then she's not, as you say, with like one of the boys or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So she's not part of the circle or something like that. So when you bring her around, it's kind of weird and whatnot. And it's a good break. But at the same time, they also
weirdest thing.
Yeah. And they also just don't understand as well. Right, they don't understand the grind, and not that it causes problems, but it's like if you try and talk to them, it's just they're just not clicking. And I'm sure once you get out of college or high school, wherever you're at, scene, and get into kind of the real world, it really doesn't matter as much, right? Because it's not all the athletes don't know each other in Germany or France or wherever you guys are. Like that's not the case, right? So that's where in college I feel like it's just kind of weird because – not weird, but it's just kind of different because they're not part of the group. It's just – and they bring around the team if they're not close. Actually, one person who did that do that very successfully was James and his girlfriend and Meredith. Everyone loved her, and she was great. Now playing with –
Are they not together?
No, they are. They are. They're still together. Now playing with or dating an athlete, there are pros and cons. I'll always start with the bad stuff. The bad stuff is, like, obviously you can be harder on them. For example, like, if they're, like you compare them to yourself a lot and be like, oh, like, yeah, and you can act, for me, I can act, like, in a dickish way sometimes. Or I'm like, well, you got to deal with it or some shit, or something like that. And, like, you're a lot harder on them than,
that's
than,
a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're, like, a lot harder than them on, because you're in that situation, too, and you're like, oh, I've dealt with that. You just got to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you do definitely for sure, like, what's the point? Overdo it. Like, for example, like you're, oh yeah, you think you handle it better than you actually did. And then that translates onto that. You know what I'm saying? Like I've had that. And then, and just stuff along those lines. But the pros to that is like, I'll probably think of one more con, but the pros to that is also, they do understand, you talk to them about it, right? And, another con is if they don't. Luckily, I don't have this. But if they don't have a drive, like an athletic, a drive to be at the top of the top, you can judge them on that for sure, right? Because you're in the same field. And that's not my situation, but I've known others to have that and can drive them crazy. But the pros are definitely like they understand, they get everything like that. You both have busy schedules. I guess you gotta make it work or whatever. And they are kind of in that circle. They like I said, they understand, and you kind of bond over that, and. I mean, sometimes I really don't do this very much, or doesn't do this very much for me. But like, not pointers or anything, but something you've noticed about, like, their team or your team or yourself or whatever that you can kind of, like, help on and just stuff along those lines. But that's what I got.
I've always felt that is just, like, somebody, like, trying to – like, I've never seen something be said in, like, a relationship between two that are, like, something that they wouldn't get from their coaches or something. That's just kind of, like – oh, when somebody says, like, oh, my girlfriend's helped me out with – getting ready for this match or breaking down film. I'm like, dude, what the heck is your girlfriend doing helping you break
film? Right. I agree with that.
Down film, yeah. But I think that definitely they can help you get ready for
maybe a match. Like the emotional stuff.
No, they maybe definitely can. They definitely can.
Like on an emotional level, like they can tell like when you're just like not feeling good or something. But from like a preparation standpoint, I don't see how they.
Yeah, the film thing is a little bit. It depends. If you're freaking dating, like,
your coach,
I don't know, Carrie Walsh, and you're a beach player, like, you'd want her to watch your film.
True. But,
I mean, in most cases, not really.
What about you, Micah? But,
I mean, for me, I've only had two girlfriends. They're both athletes. I don't think it's something that I've specifically really gone for. I think it's just the group I'm around.
For sure.
And like obviously you want someone that's fit and that's athletic and like I don't know, I've always wanted my children to be athletic, you know? I don't know if that's something you guys even think about.
Oh, for sure. I'm scared of my children.
For sure, I'm like no, I really want my children to be extremely athletic. Whether they do it or not, that's up to them.
Yeah.
But I definitely want them to have the opportunity to be like
absolutely. You want them to have at least the choice of the opportunity. I wouldn't know if they just had like no athletic bone, because that's what you see a lot of celebrities. My mom talks about this a lot. Is they marry like these like trophy wives or like these models, and then their kids turn out to be like even if you look at like Tom Brady's kids or Joe Montana's kids, like their kids just they don't have the athleticism. You see like their father, but guys who marry like you said athletic wives and they get out and they have athletic children, like that's for sure something I think all three of us would look for. And
100%.
I think all you guys hit it on the point, or both you guys hit it on the point, is the understanding like of the lifestyle and like what it takes and the, like just the sport lifestyle. They need to understand, because when you have kids too, like when you get to that point, I mean, none of us have kids, so I don't know how much we can speak, but I would assume that like when you have kids, you want the wives to understand. Like, it drives me nuts when parents come to, like, they come to Pac Rim, our dad's club, or I see them go to other clubs, and they just don't understand, like, the commitment to play at, like, a high-level club or a high-level team. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we have, like, a vacation this week, so we can't come to the national qualifier or stuff like that. It drives me nuts. So, like, I think, like, your partner needs to be able to understand that, especially from a sport level, understand the commitment. And not have to baby their kids. Like if they deal with a tough coach or they have an argument with a teammate, like they need to understand that the kid needs to figure that out. And I think wives who have the sport background are able to understand that more and able to help the kids more in the long run. So, I don't know. That was a random thought I had. I wanted to bring that up because I had written that down this week after I had a conversation. So, but it was interesting stuff. I think people for sure, like I get questions from my friends, just from people in general all the time about relationships and stuff. Like I had kids this summer actually that I was coaching asking about their relationships and what they should. I'm like, bro,
who was that?
I'm your volleyball coach. I'm not your relationship coach.
Okay, so I have two
things. Joe, the relationship guru.
Yeah, there's only one the answer. Love guru. Break her the off. Love break
guru.
Her off.
The love guru. Guru Hashinman Tudin. What is it? Guru.
I don't know. I didn't watch that movie. It was horrible.
You didn't watch Love Guru?
It ruined Mike Myers'
Oh, my God.
It ruined his career. Okay, there's two things I want to before I wrap it up. So, Joe, really quickly, just clarify, sports or non-sports?
100% sports.
Okay, so sports. Two, so we're at the grass tournament. Micah, did you know? I just looked on the who's there and everything. Did you know that Zana's is gonna be playing?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll see here. I'll make sure. So like I said, we're vlogging and putting everything on.
I told you were going.
So we'll be on. I'll add system gear. You'll see. And three, dude. So listen to this. Listen to this. The other night, I was checking who's gonna be here. The brackets, right? The top team: Taylor Crabb, Andy Benesch, and his partner Eric. I forget his last name.
Yeah.
Starts with a B.
Yeah.
They're gonna be.
Yeah, what is his dang?
He's Andy's partner.
Or something. Oh, that is Threes. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So that's gonna be a gnarly tournament. And I would have more confidence with Joe, and I have complete confidence in myself, don't get me wrong. And I have complete confidence in my team, just that we're new. Obviously, we're not going to be as good as me and Joe there and whoever else.
Who are you guys going with?
It's me, Avery Aylesworth, and Evan Corey. Well, we have a solid team.
Yeah, that is a legit team.
So we're going to go in there. It's going to be a freaking battle. I'm ready to ball out. I've been playing grass. Oh, yeah, by the way, Hawaii's been playing grass. They opened the parks, and we've been playing grass. I've been playing grass every single day, and I've been getting back into it. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling lit. I'm ready. I got a 13.
Feeling alive.
Yeah, I have a 13-hour travel day here, so it should be good.
When do you leave?
Today.
What? Wait, when is it?
9:50. So I go 9:55 p.m. I go at
No, when's the tournament?
Sunday.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Okay.
So I go 9:55 p.m., get the LAX at 6:05 a.m., 6:05 a.m., layover at 7:17 a.m. I then fly to Charlotte.
I didn't know this already.
Because I have my itinerary. Who do you think bought the tickets?
7:17?
7:17 a.m. I arrive in Charlotte, North Carolina at 3:30 p.m. We rent a car. We drive 1:49 down to Greenville, South Carolina, where we're staying. There's gonna be like 5 in a room, and then we fly, and then we there to the 5th.
Dude, so that reminds me, Joe, do you remember our travel day back from Argentina?
Bruh.
Oh my god, longest
that
travel.
Was the worst.
Took me 48 hours to get home.
48.
Where? From the time I left my hotel room in Argentina to the time I arrived in my house at home.
That's nuts. Where? Ridiculous. Were you going like in circles around the world in 80 days? Or what are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing the whole USA volleyball hop, skip, and a jump.
Nice.
We went from, well, we had to catch, we were
budget
like
airlines.
North of Argentina, and then we had to like bus, and then we had to catch a flight from there to the bottom of Argentina, and then leave the airport, and then bus to a new airport.
We're like on buses with chickens.
Go there to Texas. And this is the worst part. From Texas to Florida to California. I was like, yo, I'll just stay here. Pick me back up on the way home, on the way when you cross back over. From Texas to Florida, then to California, then to Hawaii with a bunch of layovers too.
That's brutal. Well, you're here now. We're here alive. So if you want to go professional volleyball, international volleyball, you will be traveling a lot. So expect that a lot. Boys, this has been fun. Micah, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll be back on. We'll be back next week. We took a week off on the picks, but we'll make sure we're back on that next week.
Oh,
you guys.
Do we have the results? No, I know. Yeah,
I nailed
Kazan
every single
lost.
Game last week.
Did
I
you
nailed
really?
Every single game. Yeah, and I think I hit one or two of the set count. I'm gonna have to go back and.
I was right on Kazan going 5, and it was really close. I watched the end.
Yeah. But if anybody's in Greenville or in the Carolina area and wants to go watch Gage and the boys DMR account, let's get a little fan crew going like we had in Wild Pack, and that would be dope. But thanks, Gage.
So DM us if you need to. DM us if you can. We'll be there. You'll see us in all out of system gear. This is Gage, Micah, and Homeless Joe signing off. This has been another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System.